So the purpose of this workshop is, I think, to illustrate the, so in part at least, to illustrate the connection between distribution of zero of L functions and random matrix theory. So already in the case of the most primitive zeta, most primitive L function, which is Riemann's zeta function, the theory is very rich, and so as Nina said, it has already been been confirmed both by extensive numerical evidences and also by theoretical evidences. And but so this connection with random matrices are highly conjectural, as you know, and so it is good to have more, even more confidence into this model, to have other examples on which to test the model. So my purpose of this series of lectures is to present the other objects that for which one may want to test the random matrix model, and these objects are L functions. In this talk, I will barely touch the question of random matrices, but only rather present L functions. So this is a kind of catalog, so to say, of L functions, or so some guide in the zoo of L functions. And but so maybe the ultimate goal at the end is to make the case of L function over function fields which is a case for which the random matrix model has the most theoretical evidence proved, to make this case understandable. So for that reason, I will concentrate. So there are many ways of presenting L function, but with the case of L function over function fields in mind, I will mostly present L functions from the point of view of Artin L functions, that is L functions associated to Galois representations. So before starting with Galois representations, I will simply say what deserves to be called an L function and what do we expect from it. So an L function is a special kind of Dirichlet series. So say I write it L pi of S, S being the complex variable. So this is a Dirichlet series. And so it is absolutely, so in general one can prove it is absolutely convergent for real part of S sufficiently large. And so it defines an holomorphic function in such a half plane. And so what is really important, the most important property for this Dirichlet series to be called an L function is that the coefficients, the Dirichlet coefficients, are multiplicative. So which is that the coefficient of a product is the product of the coefficients. Whenever M and N are coprimes, and so formally, it gives you that your L function factors as an Euler product over the primes, where LP of pi at S is called the local factor at P, and it's some so in general there is more to this. So in general there is a linear recurrence relation satisfied by the lambda p alpha. So in fact this relation should be the same for when as p varies, so essentially the same. And so this is not only a series, but in general, so for all for most interesting L functions I know, so the local factor is the inverse of some polynomial in P minus S with so a polynomial of degree at most so some integer d for some d bigger than one, so and of degree d d for almost all p, and so also we require that the constant coefficient of this polynomial is one, so for convergence of this product. So so we can factor this polynomial and write this as a product 1 to d of 1 minus alpha pi I p over p to the s minus 1. And so the so usually the alpha pi this collection of number so without order are called the local parameter of pi at p. So the whole collection. So this terminology is borrowed for the theory of automorphic L function. But okay. And so for example, of course, you have a relation which is that the pif coefficient of this Dirichlet series is simply the sum okay, so what do we expect from an L function in general? So so in general, we expect that L pi of S admits at least meromorphic continuation to C with finitely many poles, and in fact most of the time so the poles are should be are well identified, and for some appropriate normalizations the poles are only at one. And so one expect also to be able to control the poles of this L function very well. This is not the case in general, but So, and one expects also a functional equation. Which takes the following form, so lambda of pi of s equals epsilon of pi lambda of pi of 1 minus s bar. So this is with epsilon of pi as modulus 1, and so it's something constant, and lambda pi of s equals Q pi of s over 2 L infinity pi of s L pi of s, where this number has modulus 1 and usually it is called the root number or the sign of functional equation. Q of pi is an integer and is usually called the conductor. And L infinity pi of s is a local factor of pi at infinity, at the infinite place. And it takes the shape of a product of d gamma factors where gamma r of s equals p minus s over 2 gamma of s over 2, so which is a standard gamma function. And the mu pi I are some real numbers, and usually the set the double of this complex number form the local parameters of pi at infinity. So in general, one expects all this, and of course, so this functional equation is you can have other functional equations, so subject to an appropriate normalization. Of the lambda pi of n, because so in nature sometimes the L function arises with a functional equation with this one replaced by another integer, for example, or half an integer, but so you can shift the complex variable to put the center of the functional equation at s equals 1/2. And so in this case, so what more is expected? So in general, one can show that L pi of s, so with this normalization, one can often show that L pi of s is absolutely converging for real part of s strictly bigger than 1. And so by the functional equation, this implies that the zeros of L pi of s are satisfies so real part of rho between 1 and 0. Often one is able to prove Roger is explaining this. One is able to prove that in fact the zeros are strictly the zeros of. Okay. I should put a lambda to avoid the zeros coming from the poles of this gamma function. So, okay. So the zeros of this L function should be. So one can prove usually this thing, so which is a kind of generalized prime number theorem. And of course one expects more, which is that that all zeros are on the critical line. And of course, a lot of work on random matrix theory assume this hypothesis as a kind of axiom. But in many cases, one can have good statements without it. And sorry? Yes, of course one need to know things about the real part of, so but yes. But so this is in what we expect in general and for all reasonable L function. And okay. So if you have this kind of zero free region, so Roger again is explaining this. This gives you non-trivial information about the distribution of the lambda pi of p, so that you get that the lambda sum over p less than x of lambda pi of p. So these objects are equal to the order of the pole. So the order of the pole at S, this is the order of the pole plus little o of x over log x. So, sorry. Okay, so, and this is non-trivial, and in most of the time, this L function is holomorphic at S equals 1, so this term vanishes, which should show oscillation of this kind of sum. I want to say something about this structure of L function, something else. This is so in general, pi is an arithmetic object over a number field or over Q, and it can be built. So is in general this global arithmetical object is comes with a lot of so with a local version of this pi, so pi of little p, where p range over the primes. And so these are a collection of local arithmetical data, and the L function is simply obtained by taking the product over all primes of these local L functions. So if in some sense you take random local objects, one for each prime And so you consider this formal L function. In general, you will almost always not obtain analytic continuation to C and a functional equation. So it means that the existence of this functional equation comes from the very global nature of pi, and this is not some kind of random. So this little p of pi, in some sense, see each other so that they can conspire to form a functional equation. So an L function is a very strong analytical invariant which capture a kind of local to global principle. And you can find other example of this local to global principle into formula for special values of this L function at special points, which relates this kind of products of local arithmetic information to global invariants of your arithmetical object. So this may be a bit foggy right now, but with the next lecture we will see something more concrete about this. So so to say, the existence of a functional equation is something extremely strong, and in some sense is saying that all these local fact objects are not randomly chosen. But okay, so now I can start with Artinel functions. So the starting point, I consider Q and K, an algebraic finite dimensional extension of Q. So K, an algebraic a subfield of Q, an algebraic extension of Q of some degree d, which is, so here it is finite, and it means that K as a Q vector space is finite dimensional, and this implies that every element of K is annihilated by a polynomial with coefficients in Q. So I recall that K has exactly d embeddings into C. So I say sigma 1 sigma d, so we say that K is Galois, if and only if every of these embeddings send K to itself. Then the set of these embeddings form a group, which is the Galois group. And so we have this Galois group. And we are going to be interested in two L functions associated to representation of this finite group. So maybe I will give an example. So the example is that of the cyclotomic field. So if you take R bigger than 1 and mu of R root of unity of order R exactly. So mu R of R equals 1. So say for example exponential 2 pi I over R. If you wish, then the field generated over Q by this root of unity, so it's called the R cyclotomic field, and this field is Galois over Q, and its dimension is phi of R is the order of Z over RZ of the invertible element in Z over RZ. And in fact, the Galois group G is isomorphic to Z over RZI star. And the isomorphism is the one which to some congruence class coprime with R associates the embedding sigma A, yes, which sends your root of unity to the root of unity to the power A, so which is still of exact order R because A is coprime with R. So now, if we consider a character chi of Z over RZ, so which is an homomorphism of group into C, then chi can be made a function over Z. So we can extend it to Z by sending n to chi of n mod R if R is coprime with n and to zero else. And So now, Z to C. Yes. Because of this isomorphism, you obtain a character of so here you have a character of G into C star, and so. You consider the local factor L pi of chi of S, so which is the general definition of a local factor of an Artinel function, which is I take the determinant of the identity minus chi of p 1 over P to the S, and I take minus 1, but so this gives me a one-dimensional representation, so this local factor is 1 minus chi of P over P to the S minus 1, so this is if P does not divide R, and if P divides R, I simply put 1. And then what you obtain at the end this is simply the usual Dirichlet L function. But so classical Dirichlet L function can be seen as Artin L function on the cyclotomic field. So in this case, of course, so you will see that so a lot of things which were expected are true. So in particular, you have the functional equation and the analytic continuation. And so simply, some kind of warning, the proof of the functional equation does not come from the structure of Euler products, but rather comes from this representation in additive terms, and the fact that this function here, so over z now, is a periodic function of period R. So, in some sense, these interesting properties are not captured by the structure of Artin L function, but by they are captured by analysis over z, which is harmonic analysis. So now I come to the general definition of an Artin L function. And so for this, so of course people which do number theory know all this, but so this is intended for other people mostly. So we note O of K is a ring of integers. So we return to the we return to this general situation of a number field over Q. So we note O of K is a ring of integers of K. So which is simply the set of elements of K such that which are annihilated by a polynomial monic with coef, which are annihilated by a monic polynomial with integral coefficients. So one can prove that this set is a ring, and this is the analog of Z in the field of rationals. And so one can show that OK is a free Z module. Is a free Z module of rank. Of maximal rank, what is the dimension? D, of rank D. And so, in particular, I leave it for a moment. So I note id of OK to be the set of ideals in this ring. Okay. And an ideal, so, and any ideal is also a free Z module of maximal rank D. Okay, so in particular, you can prove that now the quotient of your ring by this ideal is finite, and the number of elements in this quotient is called the norm of K over Q of the ideal. So, the notion of norm coincides with another classical notion of norm in algebraic theory of fields. So, which is if A is an element of OK, then the norm of the principal ideal generated by A is equal to the absolute value of the standard norm of the ideal. I recall you that the norm is simply the product over all embeddings of your field of the image of alpha under these embeddings. So the structure of this group of ideals, so these ideals have a structure. So IDOK is a monoid. So it has an associative commutative group law with unit with OK as unit, as unit element. So and the law is multiplication. So you can multiply two ideals, A times B, equals the ideal generated by the product AB with A in A and B in B. And so this form and the norm induce a morphism of monoid, so it's multiplicative. Norm of AB equals norm of A times norm of B. And there is more into this structure, which is that this monoid is freely generated by the prime ideals so which is any ideal can be written in an essentially unique way as a product over all prime ideals V pi of A. So this is a product of all primes in this ring, and this product, so these valuations are almost always zero, and so Vp of A, so a non-negative integer, and so this is and this decomposition is unique, so this is exactly the analog of the decomposition of integer into prime numbers for Q. And this is, so Roger in his first lecture pointed out that in general rings of integers, the factorization property is not true at the level of the elements, but it becomes true when you pass to ideals. Of course, over Q, these elements and ideals are essentially the same because Z is a principle. Okay, so now I have this in hand. And so because of this decomposition and so this monoid property, what is natural is to study the decomposition. So it is natural now to study the prime ideals, and the prime ideals can be gotten from looking at the various decomposition. So now P prime of Z. And to get these prime ideals, one looks at the decomposition of this principal ideal in the big ring of integers. And it factors, so say as a product, over P of E P of P. Okay. So you have this kind of decomposition, and this number is called the ramification ramification index. And okay, so I assume that since K is Galois, all the ramification indexes are equal if of P is non-zero. And in some sense, this ramification index, so we can rewrite this formula as product in the Galois case over the primes dividing this prime P of P to the E of P. And in fact, one can show that, so one say that P ramifies if E of P is different from one, so it's bigger than one. And one can show that there are only finitely many primes which ramified in K. So yeah. PH. Okay, and so we have this. So now we have this, and now I can start to talk about Frobenius conjugacy classes. So. Okay, so P, so I choose some prime, big P, which divides little p. So the dividing relation is in the sense of this decomposition, and it is equivalent to say, so this is equivalent to say that that P is included into P. So, and I suppose that, okay, I do not need to suppose this, but so if you have this inclusion of P into P, then this gives you an embedding of the quotient Z over PZ equals the finite field with P element. This is embedded into the quotient OK over P. And so, since P is a prime ideal, and since this quotient is finite, this is a field a finite field. So which maybe we can note k of p. So this fp, I will write it k of little p. And so this is called the residue field at p. Okay. So now you have a finite extension of finite fields. So you are in this situation. So this inclusion induces something else. So I consider D of B of P, so to be the element of my Galois group, so sigma in G, which stabilize this prime ideal. So which stabilizes globally, not element by element, of course. And so this is called the decomposition group. So this is a subgroup of the big Galois group. And because of this property, you obtain a natural map from here to the Galois group of this finite extension of finite fields. And one can show, so this is not difficult to show, but this is in fact a surjective map. And this map, in general, is not injective. And so the kernel is called the inertia or inertia group, subgroup at P. And okay, but. In fact, I of P is different from 1 if and only if P is ramified. So if you want to exclude finitely many primes, this map here is injective. So you can think of this as an injective map. And then you have an isomorphism, and so it gives you. So I recall you that the Galois group of an extension of finite fields is canonically cyclic. In fact, it is generated by an element which is called the Frobenius at P, and this element, it is simply the element, donc prob of P, this is simply the element which to an element of K of P associate x to the power P. And so when you are so suppose that P is unramified, so this, you can take the inverse image of this Frobenius, and you obtain, this gives you sigma of P in the decomposition group, which is the element which maps to the Frobenius, and which is called the Frobenius at P. So what is important here is that so you have a natural element which is living in your original Galois group and which is cyclic of an order you know. So this choice of Frobenius is subject to the choice of some prime above P, but one can show that changing P to P prime to another P dividing little p to another P prime change the Frobenius so sigma p to a conjugate. So if you want to make your thing independent of this choice of a prime, so then what you say is you define sigma of little p to be the conjugacy class of one sigma of big P. So after all these constructions, yes?
But I lost you a little bit after the Frobenius conjugacy classes. And do you think you can go through some explicit example?
This is a good idea. Okay. So the explicit example I will take is I will say what is happening in the case of cyclotomic field. So note that when your group G is abelian, then conjugacy class are simply elements. So there is no problem with conjugacy. I start again with the case of an air root of unity. So what I said is that. So what? Okay, maybe I should write what. So the primes which are unramified are exactly the primes which do not divide R. So which maybe you can expect. And So what is the definition of sigma of p? By definition, so I choose some prime p dividing p. So in fact, this doesn't change anything because everybody is the same. But so the definition of this Frobenius. It corresponds to elements in this group, which send x to the p. So in my case, sigma of p is the element which send x to sigma p of x, and but I need to add a condition. So now I need to see what is the condition to be into. This element. So when you take the fact that you are in the decomposition group and that you map to the Frobenius, where sigma p of x minus x. So what? Okay. What I mean? Okay. So x. Where for? Okay, I think this is correct. For x in OK. Sigma p of x minus x belongs, must belong to p, minus xp. So this is the unique element of the Galois group, such that, so which means that I will rewrite this the other way, sigma p of x minus xp is divisible, so I say, yes, is divisible, is congruent to zero modulo p. And for any x in the ring of integers, but the ring of integers is generated by mu of mu r, and I have a morphism which I have a natural morphism which send mu r to the, so now I take sigma p to be the map which, the unique map which send mu r to the p. Obviously for me, so this map is defined because this is p is coprime with r, and clearly it satisfies this congruence for mu r, and you can show that it satisfies the same congruence for all elements of OK, because mu r generates this ring, and so you obtain that in this case sigma p of the sigma p is exactly the sigma p which I wrote before, so the one with sign mu r to mu r to the p. Is it okay?
Thank you.
And now I can define the. So I can give the general definition of an RTL function. So I consider V a finite. I consider a representation of G of rho into rho V. And now I define the local factor at some prime P to be the inverse of the determinant of the characteristic polynomial. So I take 1 over p to the s of the characteristic polynomial of rho evaluated at the Frobenius at p, and I take a minus 1. And so what I recall you is that this Frobenius is a conjugacy class, but this is not a problem because this characteristic polynomial is invariant by conjugation. So you get a well-defined inverse of a polynomial, and so that is, in this case it is if P is not ramified. And if P is ramified, there is a similar definition. So you take the 1 over P of S, rho of, so take any sigma P. But now your endomorphism does not act on the whole space, but you restrict the action to the space of vectors invariant under the kernel of this map, so that you kill every indeterminacy. And now, you can form the global L function, the global Artin-L function, L rho of S equals the product over all primes of L P of rho of S. So, okay. Yes, minus one here. Okay, so far this is only a definition. So maybe I should say what it is useful, and of course what you expect from this. So what? One of the main applications of Artin-L function is the following. So theorem, it is due basically to Chebotarev. I'm not sure I am. So it's okay. I don't know the canonical spelling for Chebotarev. I should add also Artin. And okay. So you have your group G, and so this is this Galois group, and you note G of what is it? This is not sharp, this is flat. Okay, G flat, so the set of conjugate C class of G. So you consider the map from the primes which are unramified, which to a prime P, so into the set of conjugate C class, which to some prime P associates the Frobenius conjugate C class, so this thing. So this map is surjective. So it means that you can get it every conjugate C class with at least one Frobenius conjugate C class. So in some sense you can recover all the representation theory of your group from the knowledge of all the Frobenius conjugate C class. So this is important from computational point of view. And this is there is something more precise than this. So if you consider if you set C some conjugate C class, so which is a set of elements in of G, and you note pi C of X to be the number of primes less than X which do not ramify, such that the Frobenius at P is in C, so as X goes to infinity, P C of X over the total number of primes. So this ratio tends to a non-zero number, so which is the number of elements in the conjugate C class divided by the number of elements of the group. So it means that the frequency for a prime, for a Frobenius to be equal to some conjugate C class is proportional to the elements in the conjugate C class. So you can see this as a kind of equidistribution statement. And so, which so? Okay. I will just make a corollary of this, which was known of course long before. This as corollary, if you take your field, if you take K equals a cyclotomic field, U of R, then you retrieve the prime number theorem in arithmetic progressions. Because a conjugacy class is identified with an element of Z over RZ, and here you count the number of prime which are in a given congruence class mod R. Okay, I'm overdone. So I wanted to explain the proof, but not time. Thank you.
There are no questions.